This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
No mai, haere mai, ko Hannah Tōku Ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now, I'm very pleased today to have some pals from Hamilton Playbox joining me in the studio here at Free FM ahead of their next production. I feel like my pronunciation, is it allo, allo, or allo, allo?
It depends whether you want to do it with French, German, or English accent, because we do all of those in the show.
Allo, allo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Michelle plays... Lara plays Michelle, who is a secret agent who speaks proper French, supposedly, in the show, but is also English in the show.
Out the gate, I haven't even finished saying the title of the play, and I'm already learning. But hello, hello to, no, hello, hello to the Camembert Caper. It's coming to Rivoli Theatre quite soon.
10th of October is opening night.
Good on you. And we've got Hugh and we've got Lara, also known as Michelle.
In the play, yes.
In the play. And you guys are here to tell me all about it. Straight out the gate, you've already told me something about it, so I know it's going to be a good one. But your first time is here on That's The Ticket. So thanks for taking the leap, team. Really happy to have you here.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
To be here.
But I guess, you know, we'll crack straight into it with Allo Allo 2, the Camembert Caper. Bit of a mouthful, that title. Maybe we'll shorten it to Allo Allo.
Well, it is the second of the genre.
You could say Allo Allo 2, maybe.
You could say Allo Allo 2 rather than the whole Camembert Caper.
For some reason, I feel like I'm going to accidentally say Home Alone 2, and I don't know why.
I appreciate that.
But so, Hugh, you've already mentioned that you're opening in October.
Yes.
And you're running until the 18th.
Correct.
And it's running at Rivoli Theatre. So I guess all that's left for you guys to tell me is kind of more about it. What's it all about? It's up to you guys to determine how spoilery we get here.
So it's based on a British TV series that came out in the early 80s.
Yep.
The main plot line is around a painting of the fallen Madonna with the big boobies, or the fallen Madonna with the big boobies.
Okay.
And how that painting disappeared and the fact that that's now not available to sell, because the idea was that people were going to try and use that to fund lavish lifestyles after the Second War. The whole piece is set in occupied France in the Second World War.
Right.
Based around a cafe. The cafe is owned by René, who's played by Greg Hack. He's reprising his role because we did this show about 10 years ago.
Were you in it the first time?
I was not even in the country, unfortunately. We do have three people that were in the show the last time round.
Okay, who else? We've got Greg, friend of the show.
Jane Barnett, I'm sure you'll have met.
Yes, yeah.
And her husband Alistair was also in the show the last time.
Yo, okay.
We have a pretty awesome cast. They stretch from the age of 16 to the age of 82.
Okay.
17 people, so quite a wide range of different people.
Yeah, quite a lot going on.
It is.
And a cheeky art heist. We love to see it.
But the art heist has now become a Camembert heist.
Okay, I knew cheese was going to have to enter the chat somehow.
So the cheese gets used to move money around between different people.
Or do they hide it in the cheese?
They hide it in the cheese.
That's smart. I'm trying really hard to think of a cheesy joke and I'm not thinking of anything.
I'm not getting to a pun here either, so I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, they Camembert it. That was rough. All right.
Let's That's okay. And to come up on the spot.
Thank you. I'm classically trained. let's get back to talking about the play. So obviously it's a comedy because it's based on the comedy TV
Correct.
Series. So how much of the play aligns with the actual TV series? Like, I assume it's familiar characters?
Identical characters. They're in the TV series.
Yeah.
There are bits of the show that are... We sat and watched a show the other night, actually, in the green room, one of the TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
And there are bits of the show that are sort of... You can see running plot lines that they've then used in
and
the stage
in certain
show.
Quotes and just like adapted versions from
and
the
your favourite
show.
Line as Michelle is
Le sang very carefully I shall say this only once.
Okay, I mean you had my attention.
That's her catchphrase. Says okay. it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you sick of it yet?
That's all right. If I forget my line, that's what I have to say.
Yeah, when in doubt. yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's a nice segue. We've kind of touched on your playing Michelle. Great French accent also.
Thank you. Didn't really have any experience doing a French accent, but auditioning for this, I thought, I can give it a go.
Give it a crack. And
it's
have you
going okay-ish.
Have you learned some French?
No, actually.
Do you have to speak French?
No. So when we're speaking French in the play, we're not actually speaking French. We're just speaking English in a French accent. But that's us speaking French.
Okay.
And then same with German. And then my character can also speak English. So when she speaks English, she speaks in an English accent.
Okay. That's already a lot to get your head around. As a performer, you're like, who am I? What voice am I doing? But I'm the same person.
Yeah, if I'm talking to the British airmen, I have to talk in an English accent.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just a French accent the rest of the time.
All right, that sounds nice and easy as an actor.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Hugh, who are you portraying?
I am playing von also German officers.
Okay.
There are four German officers in the play. So, yes, I have to keep a faux German accent going for all of my lines.
Okay. How's that been? Character building?
Not my first time on stage with a German accent.
Okay. What was the first time?
I played the mad professor in Get Smart.
Okay, yep.
Professor Dante. And I had a debate in my head as to whether I played that as an Italian or a German.
Right.
Decided I could carry the German accent better and therefore went for German.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Experienced.
Oh, no. Maybe.
And so you kind of touched on that there's you two and then you've got 15 other castmates. Total
correct.
Of 17 people.
17 speaking parts and then we've got some non-speaking parts.
Are you all on stage at the same time?
Only toward the end in the cafe scene, I think. Most of the time we're not all on stage.
At the end of both of the acts, we're all together.
Like,
but usually it's in groups.
It's a lot of people.
It is, yeah.
Who's your director, actually? That's probably
Lorna
a good
Lorna Ashton.
Oh, yep. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, I would imagine, yes.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure, Lorna, I can't remember if I've actually had you on That's the Ticket, but you've come up a lot, mate. So, you know, you're essentially a friend of the show. Similarly to you, Hugh, this is the first time I've had you on, but you've come up a bit. Cause
I'm fairly involved at Rivoli.
Yeah.
I build quite a lot of not a reasonable number of the sets.
Yeah.
I'm actually building the set for this as well.
Okay, you didn't have enough to do.
No, I didn't have enough to do. But I'm also on committee at Playbox.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm part of the board at Rivoli.
Okay, cool. Nice use of no free time. But no, back to Allo Allo 2. So it's a comedy we've established. Do we know if there is like an age rating on this one?
There won't be an age rating on this. This is
no?
There's a little bit of double entendre. Actually, there's quite a lot bit of double entendre.
Yeah.
And some of which will fly straight over certain heads because even our younger cast members are not picking some of those.
No, it's taken me a while to pick up on some of them and I need some help. I think children wouldn't be able to.
I mean, okay.
But there's nothing in there that a child couldn't hear.
Yeah,
like there's no swearing or
you
know, Hundi as violence or anything like that.
No, the strongest is Mon Dieu.
Right.
Which is French for my God.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the translation. Appreciate it. I feel like you and I, Lara and I, were just like, what?
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Okay. I mean, you've got time to learn, bro. No.
I'm kidding.
So you're running 9th to the 18th of October. More info and tickets are available right now at iTicket. So if you're driving right now, just pull over. Turn that engine off, then get your phone, go to iTicket, grab your tickets. You've got a mix of performances. You've got some matinees and some evening shows thrown in there. So
correct.
There's something for everyone. Get amongst it.
We've gone for a slightly different setup in the theatre as well.
Oh, please tell me more.
So instead of using a standard auditorium, we've gone with a cafe-style setting. So it's tables and chairs.
Okay. Is there cheese? Can I buy cheese at the theatre?
A really good question. I shall find out.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do that as a promo.
Yeah.
A bit like we had meat pies for Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting one for Sweeney. This is completely off topic, but now I'm here. Sweeney Todd, because it's like, if you're familiar with the plot of Sweeney Todd,
you don't want to eat the meat pie, right?
Yeah. But then probably people, this one, if there's money involved with the cheese, then they're like, yeah, if I see cheese, please hand it to me. Like, let's go. Yeah. But how long have you guys actually been working on this one?
We first brought it to committee about a year ago. Lorna's been working on it for most of that time because that's her drive. We've been rehearsing, when did we audition? April?
Yeah, since feels about August, right. I think we started auditioning.
And then we started rehearsing July, August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been in rehearsals for a little while now.
They grow up so fast though, eh?
Oh, they do.
Yeah. And actually, do you know who directed the first Hello, Hello that they did at Rivoli?
I don't. I'm afraid.
Okay, I'm like, because I wonder if it was Lorna and if she's
I don't back. Know. I don't think it was.
I obviously didn't do my research.
No, I thought of lots of checks for questions you might ask, but I didn't think to ask that one.
Hey, don't worry. This is not a test, or is it? But
well, I failed if it is.
Hey now. We don't need to evaluate our performance mid show. We're only like 10 minutes in, team. Come on, let's believe we can make it through. But I guess, you know, Hugh, you mentioned that you're heavily involved with Hamilton Playbox. You do a lot of set building and stuff. Have you been enjoying doing some acting?
I do like coming front to camera occasionally, as it were. I don't audition for a lot, but this one, particularly keen to be involved with this one.
Were you a fan of the TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. And I was also keen to be, we did one last year that I was keen to be in. And maybe next year we're doing a version of Swallows and Amazons. You're not going to recognise Swallows. Do you recognise Swallows and Amazons?
It kind of sounds familiar, but
it's an Arthur Ransom book, and it's been a film. And
there'll be people listening right now who are like going, "Yes."
So that's one of our three shows next year.
Oh, cool!
And that'll be the mid-year show next year.
Appreciate the insight and the tea here on TTT. Lara, is this your first time with Hamilton Playbox, or have you done stuff with them before?
It is my first time, yeah.
Yeah, you've got that newness.
Yeah. I was studying theatre at Waikato Uni.
Oh, great.
And then, yeah, just graduated, so.
Congrats.
Thank you. This came up, and I was like, oh, it looks interesting. I'd never heard of Hello, Hello, but yeah. My mum had.
Yeah. Is your mum pleased?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I thought, she at first was like, oh, there's Germans in it. You could audition for a German.
Yeah.
Got a French role instead. It's quite funny. A few of us are German or part German, but none of us got the German roles. We're all the French and the English ones.
Right. Can you speak German?
Yeah, kind of. I'm not that good at it. I don't practice it enough. I can understand it well. Speaking is sort of...
It's another kettle of fish.
Yeah. Can hold a general conversation, but there's a few words where I'm just quite slow to reply.
Okay, because I was going to say, should we just conduct the rest of the interview? I can't speak German. I know a few
words.
Ich bin
ein Ausländer.
Yeah, I know that. Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.
What?
I don't know. She's moving to some town in Germany. Gesundheit.
Man, I said it with such confidence and well... Oh, don't meet your heroes, guys. They'll disappoint you. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. That was very polite and just, you know, correcting me. What else do I know? I can't say that on radio. I know some words that you can't say on radio.
Not great words. Okay.
In German. No, it's always that thing when you meet someone who can speak another language and then they teach you how to swear in that language.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
The worst bit is when they teach you how to swear in that language without telling you that they're teaching you how to swear in that language.
Because I can swear in French as well, but that's a chat for when we're off air, and maybe I'll take us off air. No, I might break for a cheeky song because I'm quite proud of the effort I've put into today, where I always try and pick songs that are kind of on theme. And, yeah, this one, it's... Yeah, I've gone for, like, the war theme. It's a song hoping you will know Hugh. Don't know. Jury's out on Lara. We'll see. It's called Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy by the Andrews Sisters.
Yes.
Feels fitting? Does it fit the vibe?
It's the right era. It's a second war song.
I will take it. I will take it. But enjoy this one, guys, and we'll be right on back.
Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot dilly out a toot. He blows it eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was a boogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie boogie bugle, he was busy as a buzz bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump way to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Toot 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 da da toot da da toot toot. He blows it eight to the bar. He can't blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. The company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet because they know how he plays. When someone gives him a beat, he really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Da, 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 da.
It's a bit of a tune for your Tuesday afternoon there. I'll take on theme or from the right era of a Lower Low 2, the Camembert Caper, which is coming to a Rivoli Theatre near you 9th of October. And tickets are available now at iticket.co.nz. If you're just joining us, I've been kind of getting the inside scoop on this Hamilton Playbox production from cast members Hugh and Lara. Hugh's also like heavily involved with Hamilton Playbox in too many ways, debatably. No. How long have you been with the society, Hugh?
6.5 years.
Oh, crikey.
But I've only been in the country 7.
Yeah, okay. Not bad. I'll allow you that 1 year off, eh?
Yeah.
Half a year?
Half a year. Took us a little while to get involved when we first arrived.
Yeah. And it's baptism by fire, because a couple episodes ago I had your daughter.
Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's why we're involved. So my wife quite often does wardrobe.
Mm.
She's not doing wardrobe for this show. That's a lady called Leslie.
Mm.
We've also... very fortunate to have been contacted by one of the local, I think they're reenactment societies.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So our German officer uniforms are all going to be pretty accurate because they've lent us some stuff, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Adding that authenticity is, it just means as an actor you have to up your game a bit.
Yeah.
Just to fit in properly. But Leslie's really good at wardrobe, so... She'll be working hard on the other costume pieces.
She is great. She is a friend of me in my everyday life, and she's lovely.
Mm, good.
And then, Lara, we've kind of already touched on this, that this is your first show with Hamilton Playbox because you're fresh out of uni.
Yep.
Bit of a different vibe to uni?
A little bit. I guess there's no assessment or anything to do with it, but it's just, it's been really fun, meeting everybody.
I mean, it's good of you to get amongst it. I hope you're fully aware that, I don't know if you've heard the phrase theatre family or theatre whānau, because it's for life.
Yeah.
You do one show and then you're just kind of like bound together.
And she hasn't just restricted herself to learning her lines, so she's been helping out build the set.
Have you?
Yeah, that's been good. Doing lots of stuff with the drill.
How to use
and
a drill
the,
and how to use the, a chop saw. And
yeah, that round saw thing.
Technical term. Clearly you're cut out for the job.
She is.
Oh, that's cool. I love a like actor who does more than acting. I feel like, it, again, as someone who's not an actor, I'm just about to give a spiel that I don't necessarily have the right to give, but here we are. I think it just adds perspective. If you kind of see what it looks like backstage, it changes your perspective on stage. And gives you kind of broader view of the whole picture as opposed to just being like one piece of this awesome puzzle. I don't know.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm articulating it in the best way.
I think it's in many ways quite important for people to actually see what else is involved.
Mm.
As an actor, you're the one, when the audience comes in, when you've made them laugh and they've enjoyed the show and they applaud you, you get the immediate response to that.
Yeah.
As a set builder or the producer or the person that did the publicity, you don't necessarily get that front up response from the people that have actually paid some money and come and enjoyed themselves.
Mm.
It's really enjoyable when you do. To actually stand on stage and be applauded is to deliver a joke or a funny line and everybody laughs. That feeling of having everybody eating out of the palm of your nose. I can see why comedians, good comedians, want to be on stage all the time.
I mean, why do you think I have this podcast? No. I mean, that's just every day of the week for me, mate. But hey. No, but actually that's a good point. You're talking about, you know, the reactions you get from the audience and stuff. We've kind of touched on how you guys have been rehearsing this one since, you know, July, August. Has it kind of shifted in the rehearsal room? Because obviously everyone in that space is familiar with the jokes.
It's interesting. We had our sound and lighting guys come in last week, broadly speaking, for the first time.
Yeah.
And they were responding where they should have responded.
Yeah.
And it's reassuring that actually, as you say, we're slightly inured to some of the jokes.
Yeah.
But they come in and they laugh and you think, yes, it's going to work. This is going to play well.
There are jokes as well that for some reason the rest of the cast will still laugh to.
Yeah.
The like, worst even is though they've heard them so much, but they're still funny.
I mean, that is reassuring. It's worse though if you're on stage and you're not meant to be laughing at the joke and you want to laugh at the joke. Is that anything we have to deal with?
Yes.
I've had a few people laughing when they shouldn't be.
Yeah,
I'm quite good at containing laughter, so I can sort of just stay. Because my character's quite serious. I don't think, no, she never laughs. It's very, very serious.
You got very serious talking about how serious you are. Would you say that, like, you as a person, is it different to you as a person?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really have anything, like, Michelle has, she's, like, part of the resistance. And I guess I don't have something that's, well, what she finds really important. And she thinks she can, like, with the resistance, they can, like, put an end to the war.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big deal. And she takes everything very seriously.
Yeah. Whereas you feel like you don't have that in everyday life?
Not particularly.
Not with that attitude, you don't, mate.
No,
I'm kidding. No, I mean, it's set in a different time. But, I mean, points for being able to play this serious. Because I feel like I'm definitely the sort of person, especially in a scenario where you can't laugh, it just makes me want to laugh more.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why I talk to actors instead of be an actor. but, like, how has the rehearsal process been going? Obviously, it's quite a big cast.
Mm.
Has it been going gangbusters down at Rivoli?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, somebody's been missing most nights, but out of 17, that's not entirely surprising.
Mm.
We actually were on stage for the first time yesterday because we managed to get enough of the set built that actually we could start using the real space rather than the rehearsal space.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and one's bigger than the other. And to be clear, the stage is bigger than the rehearsal
space.
Thanks for
the I thought about making the joke and then I'm like, I'll just let him finish.
Yeah. But that was good. And it's going to work. It is hard ensuring that you do keep the appropriate po face.
Mm.
But it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And there are funny lines in it. Yeah. And there are lines that actually I'm not sure necessarily people will get the first time. So they should really come and see the show
twice.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's a good shout. You heard it here first, guys. And actually, when you talk about lines, I do like to, whenever I get actors in the studio, I do like to ask this kind of bonus surprise question. So feel free to freak out internally. do we have any line learning methods? Because sometimes people have a very specific way of how they learn lines, and so I always like to ask the question.
Well, it's just repetition.
Yeah.
I'm quite good at learning lines. I can learn them quite quickly.
Mm.
I just sort of, with anything I'm doing that doesn't really require my brain, I just go through and just repeat the lines in my head, and once I've got them decent, then I go to the next chunk, and when I've got them all, I sort of just go over them again. And
okay.
Yeah, once I've got them, then that's it. I don't really have to, I got my lines done pretty early on, and I quite like doing that, so you can like focus on
the performance a bit
more. Yeah, the performance,
and you don't have to hold anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can sort of enjoy like the process more. I find it more fun rather than just reading off the book.
You can sort of
like see what the actors and like act better, I feel.
Yeah. When you're not acting, you're reacting, they like to say. I don't know if that's true. I've just heard that before. Hugh. Tell me about your method, mate.
I recorded.
Oh, yeah, I had a feeling you'd be one of those.
And play it in the car, because I spend a reasonable amount of time in the car.
Okay.
And just keep playing it. What amuses me is at least one of the recordings I've got, somebody's got a couple of his words wrong.
It
doesn't matter in terms of my feed, but it's quite funny hearing it, thinking that can't actually be the line, because it's just not right.
Yeah.
I just sit with the book, read it and listen to it.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, the older you get, the harder it is to learn lines.
So I've heard. But I mean, I've had a lot of different answers to that question here on That's the Ticket. Some interesting highlighting methods have come up, writing it out backwards. I had someone in with a photographic memory. Which I'm like, okay, weird flex, but yeah.
Do you think he sits there with the script flipping in his head while he's on stage as he's doing photographic recall?
I didn't think to ask. I was just taken aback because, I always make the joke of being like, oh, I get some, interesting answers, but never...
The photographic memory.
Yeah, never expected that because I feel like that's always the joke.
It must be just... What, you just read the
Yeah, they just look at it and then that's it. They've just got it. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, surely you're gonna run out of space. It's like that's the whole thing.
Disc upgrade.
it's the ultimate cloud I've heard. That joke wasn't worth it. All right, back to business. And if you're familiar with That's the Ticket, you may be aware of the segment that I'm about to introduce. It's time for Rick's pick. And so the way this works is I have an Uncle Rick. He is a great listener of music, great listener of radio, might be a Low Low fan, not sure, I'll have to check with him. But when I started That's the Ticket, what episode are you guys? You are episode 236 episodes ago. He gave me a list of songs that he likes. And then he's like, every week we can pick a song from the list and we'll play Rick's pick. And every week we have. And now, as the show's getting on a bit, I've decided, no one asks, but I try and pick a song from the list that relates to the show or the people I'm talking to. And this one was hard, not going to lie. And so I've gone for a song called Monsieur Dupont by Sandy Shaw. And my kind of reasoning for this is like the song, it's quite light, it's playful, a little bit cheeky, kind of like you guys in your play. And much like the kind of comedic energy of Allo Allo 2, it also has a French connection. Yeah? Did I pass my English report?
I think so. Yeah, that sounds really good.
Sounded like several references to film opportunities there with French connection and...
Oh, see, well...
Or am I showing my age again?
Maybe. You were only showing your age off air. It was your decision to bring it onto the show. But Uncle Rick, as always, thank you for your picks, mate. It makes my life so much easier not having to pick my own songs, and I hope you enjoy Monsieur DuPont.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day, and there I got to know a certain Romeo with those so gentle continental ways. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore. You said hello to me, and I began to see that I could fall in love with you. I seem to realize the kind of paradise your continental kiss could lead me to. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont, say, I know je t'aime and je t'adore, but won't you tell me how, or won't you tell me now, the way you say en français, give me more. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me say so tenderly that I was never before. Monsieur Dupont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore. Monsieur, Monsieur, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore.
Great pick this week, Uncle Rick. As always, appreciate. That was Monsieur Dupont by Sandy Shaw. Did you guys appreciate me trying to give my French a little bit of all that?
Shall we say that it's Monsieur Dupont?
Yeah. I mean, that was the same issue I had with my lines. Okay. I need to be corrected.
Hey, it's, you know, safe space. This is a space of learning. I'm learning a lot about language, about comedy, about how old Hugh is.
Ancient.
Ancient.
But not, he's happy to report, the eldest member of the cast.
No. Yeah, you're the second eldest. No, I'm kidding, ooh. I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
I don't even make third eldest.
I'm like, this is the most amount of time we've spent together and I'm already just for no apparent reason, like, joking at you. And, you know, this happens on That's the Ticket often. I get to meet new people and instead of making friends, I'm like, let's just tease you to an audience. But, like, I've gone way off track. So, obviously, you guys are in Allo Allo 2, which is opening quite soon.
We're talking 10th of October.
Yeah. We were talking about how you guys have already got into the theatre. Like, you're on the stage a little bit. Are we getting to that point where we're ready to get this thing in front of a crowd?
We'll be ready for next week.
Yeah. I know some people are quite, like... Mm. I think I'd be ready to do it, but I'm not sure if everybody would agree for their parts.
Yeah, Greg playing Rene has a lot of lines to learn.
A few monologues.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
And he regularly has to break the fifth wall.
Yeah.
So it's about keeping the audience up to where we are and why we're where we are. And that's part of his character, is to do that.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you watch TV series, then Rene did that on the TV series, where he effectively talked to the camera rather than, you know, at the camera, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good. We'll be ready. We did have our first rehearsal on stage yesterday, and it went pretty well. Little bit of just adjusting for the additional space. But we'll be ready. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always exciting getting onto the stage, but then I feel like the first rehearsal, you're just like, where is stage left? Like, you just forget and you kind of have to reset. And I imagine as you're getting your, you know, your set pieces and your props and stuff involved, it's like the classic is the rehearsal room couch, which is three chairs, becomes an actual couch and stuff like that.
Oh, well, there's a bed in a bedroom.
Yep.
So the bed's actually going to become a bed instead of just two chairs.
Yep.
So, yes. And that'll be interesting. So, and it's on a raised level.
Oh, yep.
So that you can actually see that differentiation between the ground floor cafe and the upstairs bedroom. And that's been a mission, just making sure we got that split level on the stage and building that.
Yeah. Well, this is fun to build.
This is the thing with Reveille, is I feel like lately, every time I go in there, I'm always like, it's like a TARDIS. You're like, it seems bigger on the inside.
I'm biased because I did spend a lot of time at Reveille, but I'm constantly amazed and impressed by just what an awesome set of volunteers we've got, whether it's hair and makeup, whether it's wardrobe, whether it's the set builders, the production
whether it's
teams.
Cast and crew like Lara, who's like, you know what, I'm a builder set today and use a roundy round saw.
Yep.
I want to see her using a square saw. That'd be really interesting.
I can do that next time.
What is a square saw?
Doesn't exist.
Oh.
Ah.
Gotcha.
The jig is up.
I thought that was a more advanced one.
Yeah, because I was like, there's a jigsaw. I know that.
Yeah.
I wanted to use the square saw.
We can make you a square saw, Lara. I'm sure that can be arranged.
That was mean. Okay. Now, I'll just better just keep on going with this interview, even though I feel quite disheartened. No, I'm kidding. But I do want to take a cheeky step away from a lower low, just real quick, and be the cheeky radio host that I am, and ask if, after this, do we have any other upcoming creative projects that we can talk about? Anything else planned after this one, or are we just focusing on getting through this show?
Well, I guess this is my first show outside of uni or school or anything.
Yeah.
But I've had a really, like, great time rehearsing and stuff. It's been really fun.
You're going to audition for more after this?
Yes, definitely. So I'll probably do more Playbox and maybe some other places.
Yeah. Do you do any musical theatre? I got to ask a question.
I haven't yet, but I've always wanted to. I just, I can sing, but not dance. Dancing's one thing holding me back. So I think maybe I just need some dancing lessons or something before I can start doing some musical theatre.
Okay. No, respect it. For some reason, everyone thinks that I can sing, and I'm like, no, I'm just loud. Like, yeah.
Are they tagging you with the family tag?
I think so. Similarly to your family, my family name Mooney. I've got a lot of actors in my family, a lot of cool creative people, and then I would say I identify as a non-creative creative. So my joy is found in podcasting about the arts or producing shows, sending emails about shows, not necessarily being in shows. Love watching shows. I do enjoy a bit of backstage as well.
Cool.
You know, give me 30 minutes to stress out about a 30-second set change. That's the dream.
But, so within Reveille, we've got a Christmas show coming up, which
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming up in late November, early December.
Are you working on that?
I'll probably be helping with the set. We'll see. I was going to be the chief mech, but unfortunately I'm away for packing. So.
Okay. Selfish, but I'll allow it.
Well, there you go. It happens sometimes. I can't do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the junior show at Christmas is Moana Junior.
Yep.
And then Playbox's first show next year is Unnecessary Farce.
Okay.
I should really know what the first HMT show is next year, but I don't. But I do know they're doing Evita next year.
Yes, I'd heard that.
And we're doing Swallows and Amazons.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling to remember what the third Playbox show is.
I mean, you've already given me more than I was expecting to get, so, you know, that'll do, mate.
You have to keep your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, yeah.
Know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did say that you're on the Rivoli Theatre Board, right? And
correct.
Playbox Board?
Correct.
Right. Do you ever get bored?
Bored of being on boards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I enjoy doing voluntary work. If I'm not at the theatre, I'm involved with Scouts. So I help Kirikira St. Peter's.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, yeah.
So, good on you.
I love working with young people. It's feel like you're giving back.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's why I invited you on the show. As a young person, I wanted to give back to
you. Thank you.
Here.
Thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere in this life.
No, and I've got one last kind of bonus question that I like to ask actors when I have them in on That's the Ticket. And it's about opening night versus closing night. So as actors, do you prefer opening night or do you prefer closing night?
So opening night's really scary.
Yeah.
Because it's, have I actually got all my lines? Am I going to be ready? Are people going to enjoy this?
Yeah.
And closing night is sad because it's the end of a whole 3-4 month period.
Yeah.
And there are people that you'll see for the last time the following day when you do pack out.
Yeah.
And you won't see them for months. There are people in this show that I will see every month because they're also on committee and they'll be in more shows at Rivoli.
Yeah.
And in other places. There will be people that I probably won't see for a long, long time, which is sad.
So which is your favourite?
I'm going to go with opening.
Okay. Lara?
I mean, I feel a similar way to it, like you, but I've never done a show where it went for such a long time.
Oh,
so just like a couple.
Yeah. We'll revisit
three,
that.
Maybe, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Or just... The first time is always very... is more nerve-wracking, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really hard to say.
Just say the second show.
The second show.
You did not offer us that as a choice.
I think everyone would say the second show then.
Yeah. I think my thing is, because I'm always an audience member, well, more often than not, is I prefer opening night because as an audience member I feel like that show is for me because everyone's backstage nervous and they're like, I got to say it correct. I got to get my lines right.
Yeah.
Whereas closing night, you guys have got everything, like...
If we haven't got it right by then, it's a bit late.
Oh, it's not right even then. A case of getting it right. You're like, you guys are thinking about, this is the last time I get to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it shifts it. But, I mean, I have no doubt that with Hamilton Playbox and the team that you guys have, that, you know, every show is going to be on point, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, because it's that whole thing of every show should be the same, but I feel like with a comedy like this one, and depending on what your audience is like, no show is going to be the same, right?
Correct. And I would argue not, because actually your audience response will be different in every show.
Yeah.
Where people laugh is different. And that will vary with age profile of the audience, whether it's a matinee, whether it's an evening show. Hopefully, I mean, ideally, everybody's coming out to have a good time.
Yeah.
And therefore, they will come out and let their hair down and laugh when they should do and enjoy and join in. There's actually almost an audience participation section. We have a risk of doing too much of a spoiler. There's definitely a part where you get to clap along.
Don't tell me what to do. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We don't have to, Hannah.
If you want to, you can clap along.
Okay. I can get behind that level of audience participation. I think it's just a me thing because, I talk to creatives every week on That's the Ticket. If people are in a show and it's like audience participation when they get someone involved and they see me, they're like, oh, Hannah's going to be game for this. And I'm like, no. But
yeah, I think a lot of people aren't very keen on the audience participation.
Yeah, even the actors, right? No.
Yeah, it depends on theatre culture that you've grown up
in. Yeah.
So classically in the UK, pantomime is still huge.
Oh,
and that's heavily audience participation. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, see, I can get behind that. If I don't have to get up and you can't see me, then yes. But if I'm being brought on stage, maybe. But I mean, you know, if it's done well.
Yes.
Along me coming out with all these opinions. I don't know why I'm picking such a strong stance. Because, like, the long and the short of it is, I love a comedy.
Mm.
And you guys are here bringing a cracking good comedy to Kirikiriroa. So, you know, I should just take the win with that. And is this is Hamilton Playbox's last show
for this year.
What did you do earlier this year?
We did The Mysterious Disappearance, which was
that's
about
right.
Agatha Christie.
Yes, I had some people on for that one.
And we did, what was our first show?
I wouldn't know.
The Borrowers was last year.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't The Borrowers, was it?
I can't remember.
That's okay.
I've done too many shows this year.
You have done too many shows this year. But, yeah, I want to say I hope you're taking a break after this one, but I know you won't be because you listed off all this stuff. Yeah.
I get to go. I have a new grandchild. I'm going to go home and meet my new grandchild just as the show finishes.
Congratulations.
Oh. Probably more to my daughter-in-law and son, but, yeah.
Well, no, it's just amazing because no one would expect you to be old enough to have a grandchild.
Oh, Hannah.
Hey, I had to take the shot. That joke wrote itself. But I might just take the mic back for a minute and do my last segment for the show, which is upcoming events. So I'm just going to talk about some of the cool creative stuff coming up in Kirikiriroa Hamilton in the not-so-distant future. Feel free to interject or just have a chill. As you may have guessed, Hamilton Playbox has Alo-Alo 2, the Camembert Caper, running at Rivoli Theatre next week. More info and tickets are available right now at iTicket. Outside In, featuring friend of the show, Alice, who is also Hugh's daughter, is running at the Meteor from the 30th of September to the 4th of October with 7:30pm shows and a 2pm matinee on the 4th of October. More info on tickets at themeteor.co.nz. Will you get to see this one, or does it clash with your rehearsals?
Yeah, no, I got tickets closing show.
Okay, good on you.
I don't think I'd have been very popular if I hadn't gone to see my daughter.
Yeah. Over at Clarence Street Theatre, they've got Disney's Frozen Junior Inn from the 10th to the 12th of October with 7pm and 1:30pm shows. More info on tickets at ticketek.co.nz. And then Hamilton Operatic Society is back with Downtown Musicals at Navarra Lounge on the 7th of October. More info and tickets at Eventfinder. So that's what I'm going to read out for today. I just want to stress that I'm not the definitive guide to all the cool creative events happening in Hamilton. If I was going to be there, I wouldn't need my guests. And it's slightly more interesting talking to you guys than reading a list. But as I always like to say, support your creative mates, support your local venues, get amongst it. Volunteer if you can, buy tickets if you can. There is always something happening here in Hamilton. Now back to you two. I don't know if you've listened to That's the Ticket before, but I always like to end with a specific question, and this is it. So you guys have been here on TTT, giving me the tea, the inside scoop on your show. And so my last question for you is, how do you take your tea if you're having a cup of tea?
It needs to mash properly. It needs to be made with a tea bag that actually has tea in it.
Yeah.
I still have mine flown in from the UK.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
I am one of those, I'm afraid. And then you add whole milk to it. But I do the tea first and add the milk second.
If you were going to say milk first, then I'd kick you out. No, I'm kidding. Are you bag in or bag out?
I leave the bag to mash and then take the bag out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll allow it. What tea do you call
English breakfast tea?
Yeah.
But it's a particular brand from a supermarket in the UK.
Okay.
Tea's just not strong enough here.
Okay. All right, you and Uncle Rick could get on well. He has disgusting tea, and he knows, like, it's a joke because I'm making him a cup of tea, and then he'll be like, "Do you think that looks disgusting?" And I'm like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Perfect." Lara, do you drink tea?
Very occasionally. Okay. If someone makes me a tea and was like, do you want a tea? I'd be like, sure, I'll drink it. Otherwise, I sometimes have like fruit tea.
Okay.
But in general, I just drink water.
Just water? Yeah. I'm like, is there any coffee entering the chat or no?
No.
No?
Coffee's harder. If someone makes me a coffee, if it's got a lot of other things in it and it's not so strong, it's okay.
Yeah, but, okay.
Yeah, try not to rely on caffeine in general.
Fair. It's probably good because this is the thing, us theatre folk, potentially too much tea or too much coffee at the theatre.
Or both.
What, do you ever mix your tea and your coffee together?
No, I don't mix them together, but I might have one off the other.
Yeah. Oh, what, should you start with the tea and then the coffee?
Tea first thing in the morning, coffee most of the day, tea in the evening.
Okay, coffee most of the day.
Yeah.
How many coffees are we doing?
Three or four.
No, that's too many.
See, someone's addicted to caffeine.
Yeah.
I like to be free from caffeine, so I don't have to rely on that. Just stick to my water.
You wait. When you get to my age, no.
I'm not going to bite.
We're all looking at you being like, come on, let's go. No, you know what? Maybe I'll just end the show. That could be good. But thank you for giving me your time today, guys.
But the advantage of coffee you can dunk your croissant in it, which would be completely appropriate in Renee's Cafe when you come to see Hello Hello 2.
Croissant in the tea?
Coffee.
Oh, okay.
You dip a whole croissant.
Yeah. That's how the French eat their croissant.
That sounds made up. I'd try it. I would try it. But as I was saying, thank you for your time today, guys. Appreciate you taking the time to come and have a yarn in amongst the kind of busy rehearsal-ness that you guys have been getting amongst. And to not only you two, but the rest of the team, break a leg. That means something positive in the theatre. Just want to stress that. Well, I just feel like out of context, people are listening and they're like, why is Hannah threatening her guests? But, break a leg. All the best for the season ahead. And I'm going to play us out with another song of my choosing. It's pretty iconic of the wartime era. It's by a friend of the show, Vera Lynn. Can you guess?
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover.
Not quite. We'll meet again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when, I think.
Probably on a radio somewhere near you.
Yes.
When you're next to TTT.
Yeah, 100%. And you can bet that I'll be back next week with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, go get your show tickets to Hello Hello 2, the Camembert Caper. And take care out there, guys. This is We'll Meet Again.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again, don't know where. Don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies chase those dark clouds far away. And I will just say hello to the folks that you know. Tell them you won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as I saw you go, you were singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. To the folks that you know, tell them you won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as I saw you go, you were singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Let's go!
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.